Our Bible reading this month has stirred me to think again about the birth of Jesus. Matthew is one of the two gospel writers who at least gives us some data about the events surrounding his coming into the world. One of the things I was reminded about is how, from one angle, the birth of Jesus was ordinary. I think we forget that. At least from the perspective of the people at that time, it was unremarkable. A poor young couple required to travel at that season, late in the wife's pregnancy. And as it worked out, of course, she goes into labor while they're away from home and on this trip. And because of their situation in life, she's forced to deliver in less than ideal circumstances, even after doing or enduring what was, to the people that time, a scandalous pregnancy. It's the kind of thing, literally, that happens every day and always has. It will happen today. Babies are born, not always under great circumstances. And yet, we know from our angle on this event that the birth of Jesus was anything but ordinary. It was extraordinary. For example, the birth of this child had been anticipated. And again, not like is typically with the birth of a child. I mean, at some point in the process, a woman comes to recognize that she is pregnant. And so there is this expectation, right? Within a certain amount of time, the baby is going to be born. I'm not talking about that. The birth of this child was anticipated from the very beginning. I mean, think how far back that goes. To Genesis 3 and verse 15, when in the garden, dealing with man's sin, God promises that there is one coming, the seed of woman, who would deal a death blow to our greatest adversary. And then beginning from that point, we make our way through the Old Testament. There's all these cues. There's all these reminders, more detail about the one who is coming. And so as we study the Old Testament, we began to collect more data about who he will be and what he will do. I think Jeff has done a marvelous job over the last couple of years taking us back to the Old Testament and knitting the story together for us in these remarks before the supper. And then there's the fact that this child existed before his birth. Remember in John 8 and verse 58 that Jesus says to his adversaries, before Abraham was born, I am. We do not have time for me to unpack all that is being said there. But it was a huge claim that outraged his enemies. He's claiming not just to have existed chronologically before Abraham, but to have always existed, to possess this godlike quality. He was eternal. And so for that reason, he would have to come through into the world, not through an ordinary process, but instead was born of a virgin. And while the circumstances of his delivery may have been ordinary, there was nothing ordinary about the response to it. An angel appears to shepherds nearby and announces a Savior is born in the city of David, Christ the Lord. And then somewhere, as we read in Matthew's account, in Matthew 2, somewhere along in that process, people start showing up. Weird people. I mean, imagine when your baby is born, some guys show up at the hospital and say, we followed the star here. You're calling security, right? We followed the star. Who are these guys? We don't know. Magi, wise men from the east, just show up with gifts for the king. How did they know all of that? The Spirit leaves us wondering. And then a few days later, when Jesus is brought to the temple, people converge on this teenage couple. Can you get this scene in your mind? Simeon, for example, comes up and he says, "Now, Lord, you were releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Do you hear what he's saying there? Now I can die. Because this child has been born. And I could just imagine Joseph and Mary just wondering what this is. But the most important thing about this job, and the most difficult thing we have to say, is that the child was born to die. And I don't mean that in the sense that we are all born to die. It is a painful reality, and yet it is reality, that from the moment we take our first breath, the countdown clock begins, to the moment we will take our last. When I say this child is born to die, you know that's not what I mean. I mean his purpose for coming into the world was to die, to give his life to rescue us from our sins. Which now connects the birth to this moment and to this table. We will share the bread, a symbol for the body deity put on. And we will drink the cup, symbolizing the blood that was shed when he died on the cross to rescue us from sin. It was why he was born. And so as we share this meal, let us remember this morning. Let us give thanks for the child born to Mary, who was born to die so we could be saved from our sins.